You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
10, 9, 8, 7, ignition sequence started. All engines are started. We have ignition. 2, 1, 0. We have a liftoff. We have a liftoff, and it's lighting up the area. It's just like daylight here at Kennedy Space Center as the Saturn V is moving off the pad. It is now clear of the tower.
Hello and welcome to the White Rocket Podcast, brought to you by White Rocket Books in association with the Earth Station One Network. It's one long conversation with a variety of guests about the best of popular culture. I'm Van Allen Plexico. This episode, we have another installment of our recent convention activities. And this one I think will be a lot of fun. This is Sci-Fi Literature Jeopardy from Dragon Con 2014. So this is from the Sci-Fi Literature track. Probably the track most near and dear to my heart, though I love all of them at Dragon Con that I'm involved with. This is the track that has me on every year talking about different books and authors and getting to interview various authors. And on the track, the last several years, I have hosted Sci-Fi Literature Jeopardy. We do it not the way Jeopardy actually works, but just as basically a trivia contest. So just to make it simpler and easier for everybody. And what you'll be hearing is the way that I do my Jeopardy now at various conventions is I have a stack of red cards, yellow cards, and green cards. And audience members get to cycle up from the audience to a table where three of them are sitting there at the table competing against each other and against themselves and against the game, you know. And if you get a question right, you get a green card. If you get a question wrong, you get a red card. And if you don't attempt to answer a question, you get a yellow. And if you accumulate two yellows, it becomes a red. And then if you accumulate, I believe, two or three reds, it's either two or three, depending on how much of a hurry we're in, it's varied, then you have to sit down and somebody else gets a turn. They get to come up and play as well. And we just eventually whittle it down to all the people who have gotten the most green cards, and then they kind of whittle it down to the final winner. So that's how it works. And now here is the awesome 2014 edition of Sci-Fi Literature Jeopardy on Sue Phillips' awesome track at Dragon Con in Atlanta.
All right. Are we ready? Dragon Con 2014, are we ready?
Yeah!
All right. Hey, this is like the fifth or sixth year we've done a Jeopardy contest in the Sci-Fi Lit Track. You know, 15 years ago, we started the Marvel DC Jeopardy for the comics track, and we had a huge overflowing room over there, as usual, which was exciting this morning. And now look at Sci-Fi Lit! Woo! Look at us! How about us? I'm very proud. I'm like a proud father of some really weird people. And I love them so. Alright, so, if you don't know how it works, by the way, I'm recording this for the White Rocket Podcast that I host. I'm Van Allen Plexico, host of the White Rocket Podcast on the Earth Station One Network, and also author of science fiction and superhero stuff and fantasy and short fiction and all that kind of good stuff. And two books about the Avengers. Let me see. What we're going to do is I'm recording it. I don't know how it's going to come out because there will be people over here talking and there's speakers. It's just going to be weird. But I'm going to try to make something usable out of it. So if you want to hear it later, you can just Google the White Rocket Podcast. We're on Earth Station One, and we're also on Podbean. So you can find us there on iTunes also. Okay, the way it works is we're going to just cycle, assuming that people want to play and not just watch. Yeah. Okay, we'll cycle through. I'll have three people come up, and I'll be asking questions. You ring in. If you get it right, you get a green card. Oh, these are my assistants, Larry, and I'm sorry,
David.
Yes, David, of course.
Not Curly or Will.
That was in the contract.
I hear that a lot. So.
Oh, I get it.
So if you get it right, you get a green card. If you don't answer the question or make any effort to, you get a yellow card, which happens a lot, obviously. If one person gets it, the other two get yellow. And if you do answer it but get it wrong, you get, pretend it's red, it's hot pink. Okay. Accumulate 3 green cards, and you get to keep one of them, at least for the rest of the game. I need them back. To show that you make it to the second round, if we have time for a second round, which we didn't at Comics Jeopardy because we wanted everybody to get to play. If you get 2 yellow cards, it becomes a red. And if you get 3 red cards, you go and sit down, and the next person gets to come up and play. And we just keep it going, all right? So that way lots of people get to play. And the questions were made up by me. So I make an effort to be broad, but it's mostly stuff I like, so good luck. All right. If somebody else wants to write me some questions, send them on in. Saves me work. You know, every June and July, that's kind of what I'm doing for this and for comics. All right. So without further ado, yes, Dawn.
Do we have to answer questions?
No, you do not have to answer questions. I'm not a huge fan of that, so I'm just going to ask the questions, and you ring in, and you just say the answer. All right? You can do the what is thing, and I'll say, I don't know, you know, but, yes, another question.
If you ring in early. Oh,
yes, yes. If I'm still asking the question and I'm not finished, and you ring in early, you must answer the question there. You get no more information. If you get it, you get it. If you miss it, you get a red card, and don't get to play in the next soccer game. No. And you're out for that question, and I'll start over again. The other two get a chance to do that, okay, to ring in. Cool? We good? All right.
Do they get a yellow card because they didn't try to answer early?
No, because the question's still active, and they can still ring in. Yes. Good question, though. All right. My voice is getting really hoarse between doing lots of panels and then yelling about football earlier. So, which is still not over. It's just started back. Dang it. So let's get our first 3 victim volunteers. You, sir. You in the black and you in the t-shirt back there. You with the can. Yes, you. The one pointing at his head. Yes. You can pull your chairs up to... All right. Man, I sent off gravelly and stuff. Hey, baby, what's happening? First, I'd like for you gentlemen, since you're the first guinea pigs up here, to test the bells. We have bellage. All right. Starting on the far end, introduce your first name.
Andrew.
Brian.
Steven. Okay, yeah, pull your mics up and talk into it where everybody can hear you because we're in a big room. Plus, we're on the podcast. All right. We're going to just rock and roll here because we got, I'm sure, lots of people that want to play, I'm hoping. If not, then we'll just end when we end. All right. I have lots of categories, and I'm just going to jump around among them randomly, and we'll see how it goes. Gentlemen, the capital planet of the Empire in Foundation. Yes, sir.
Trantor
is right. Green card.
Might be easier if you just lift 3 snacks and grab them as you go.
We're good. We've done this before.
Okay.
All right. Larry Niven, guest of the convention again this year. I got to interview him last year. It was awesome. Larry Niven's first published story, The Coldest Place, is set on this planet in our solar system.
Pluto.
I'm going to start reading the question again, and the other two can ring in at any time. Larry Niven's first published story, The Coldest Place, is set on this planet in our solar system. Yes?
Europa.
You're not playing, Stephanie. Stop. You on the end? Would you like to take another?
I'm going to take my yellow card.
You're going to take your yellow card and call it a day. All right. The answer is
Mercury.
Yes, yes. He talked about that last year. He said, "I said, were you concerned that you know the information came out that Mercury is not the coldest place? That came out right after your story went off to the magazine." And he said, "The check cashed." God bless him. All right, let's see. Okay. Name one of the three killer bees of contemporary hard science fiction. Authors whose nicknames together are the killer bees. Yes?
Benford.
Gregory Benford is correct. David Brin, Greg Bear, and Gregory Benford. Yes. Give that man a green card. He can stay in the country. All right. In between Conan and Gideon Kane stories, Robert E. Howard wrote this planetary romance novel named after the planet where it happens.
Do you want the planet or the name of the story?
It's the same. Yes.
Barsoom.
I'll start again, see if you gentlemen want to take a shot. In between Conan and Gideon Kane stories, Robert E. Howard wrote this planetary romance novel named after the planet where it happens. Boop, boop, boop. Anybody?
Venus?
Al Murick.
Al Murick. Yes, good job.
And it's Solomon Kane if you want to reuse that question, Dan.
What did I say?
Gideon
Kane. That's funny, isn't it? He wrote some stories.
Yeah, I created Gideon Kane. Oops. That was a Freudian slip designed to make me money, apparently. Yes, I'm the author of Gideon Kane, which is not entirely a ripoff of Solomon Kane. Just yes. All right, let's see. Moving along. Friend of the Dragon Con literary track, who wrote the novelization for Serenity, as well as numerous Star Trek novels, many involving Klingons. And I just saw him this morning.
Keith
DeCandido. Keith DeCandido, yes, the Bandito. Well played. All right, so we've lost one. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, so we need another player. Who's coming? You back there, get your hand up. Come on down. All right, and you are?
Matt.
All right. Welcome aboard. Let's see. He's a guest of DragonCon this year. I will be interviewing him tomorrow. He has written of a Southern victory in the Civil War and alien invasions during World War II. Yes?
Harry Turtledove.
Harry Turtledove, and you move on, right? You get the... Woo! Good job. All right, so you keep your green card. And got you a yellow one.
Go
sit down, and if we have time for another round, we'll bring you back. If not, well done. All right, need another volunteer. You, sir, right here in the gray. Good to see you again. Long time.
I love you, Dan.
Too late.
Remind us, long time members, your name?
Bill,
of course. Yes, thank you, Bill. All right, let's see where we're going next. Okay. Tomorrow in the American Sci-Fi Classics track in Marriott 304, this is part of the question. Tomorrow in the American Sci-Fi Classics track in Marriott 304, we will be talking at... Hold on. At 1 p.m., we will be talking about this movie in the director's cut. I haven't even gotten to the meat of the question. Go ahead.
Dune.
In the director's cut version of the Dune movie. So no. Ack. But nice try. Nice try. I will start again. Nice attempt to anticipate. Well played, but it just didn't work out for you. So in the director's cut version of the 84 Dune movie, he had his name changed in the credits to Alan Smithy.
Oh, yeah. Who is David Lynch?
David Lynch, yes. Well done.
I'm out.
All right, thanks, sir. And we're starting to move through people again. Who's coming next? Wow, as soon as I start reading the questions, nobody wants to play anymore. You right there with the class.
Well, that would give me instant victory then.
It's just true.
I haven't known a single one of these, but I'm
going to try. Oh, you're brave, and we appreciate it. Otherwise, we're done at 8:45.
tonight.
And you are?
Gabriel.
Gabriel, thank you. We had a Gabriel in the comics track. Okay.
A little closer to the mic, please.
All right, let's see. The time machine in Joe Haldeman's The Accidental Time Machine would only travel in this direction in time.
Backwards.
You had a 50-50 shot. Oh. Hold on. Dang it. I'm going to start reading again, and you guys can ring in once I start asking again. The... Yes.
Forward.
Forward is correct. Yes. Well done. Well played. Brilliance. The brilliance on display was astonishing on the answering of that one. Well done. All right. Blade Runner. I'm looking to see if Bill's going to ring in. I should have started that out. The 1982 Ridley Scott dystopian future science fiction film, and he rung in, and then I've been like, Blade Runner was based on this famous Philip K. Dick novel. Yes, down the end.
Do androids dream of electric sheep?
That is correct. Do androids dream of electric sheep? And I guess the sequel will be based on, do androids still dream of electric sheep? Or maybe it's just be called, no, they don't. I need another volunteer. Back in blue. Come on down.
Hey, we've got two-thirds of the second round already.
I'm getting the sense we're going to need a second. All right, and you, sir, are?
Ben,
thank you for coming down. Let's see where we're going next. While we're talking about movies, books, and stuff, in this 2002 semi-adaptation of a Philip K. Dick novel, Tom Cruise would arrest you for stuff you...
Minority Report?
You hadn't even done yet. Minority Report, yes. Green card for you. All right. Thank you, Bill. We need another victim. You right here in the white and red.
Yep.
And you are?
Ted.
Sorry?
Ted.
Ted. Welcome aboard, Ted. All right, next up. The name of the dreaming city of Melniboné in Michael Moorcock's Elric. Yes?
Imrir.
Imrir, yes! Boom! I'm always so proud of the contestants when they get one that's kind of challenging. That's awesome. Well done. All right.
Wouldn't Joe say Melniboné?
Maybe.
Yeah, it has a diuresis over the E. I think you should.
And when you two get a game show, you can say it right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much for Ben.
We'll do one for Link.
Yeah.
He is the hero and protagonist of Neal Stephenson's Snow Crash.
Hero protagonist?
Hero protagonist, yes. Thank you. I was proud of that one.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. All right? Right? I'm saying. Okay. H.G. Wells explored social Darwinism in this early classic that has stood the test of time.
Time Machine?
Yes. That's another one I'm proud of. Thank you. Time Machine, well done. Wow, we got lots of cards on the table now. This is the award given by the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America.
The Nebula?
The Nebula, yes. That's, you're through to the... You are into the next round. Well done.
Three people for the next round.
You already had yellow.
So, and down here gets another yellow, which is a third red. So, okay. Thank you.
But we now have three people.
Well done,
for the second round.
We do. All right. It will go past 9 o'clock. Who's next? You in the blue shirt? Come on down. I hadn't even gotten to the end of the categories yet. This is awesome.
Don't you need two more people?
We need one. Oh, yeah, I need one more. One more. You in the blue shirt there to confuse me. Okay, you, the new person on the one end.
Sweet.
I'm sorry?
Sweet.
Okay.
Michael.
All right, welcome aboard. We're going to move on to the next one. Recent Dragon Con guests, Mike Barron and Steve Rude, chronicled the adventures of this futuristic hero who dreams of mass murderers and is compelled to kill them. Middle.
Nexus.
Nexus, yes. All right, let's see. The town where I teach college is in this book. Oh, would you like more information? I'm sorry, okay. Neil Gaiman won the 2002 Hugo Award for it. It included Rock City and may be an HBO series. That's a lot of information. Yes.
Chattanooga?
Looking for the name of the book.
I thought you said the city.
No, I'm gonna throw that one out. Too many, too much, too complicated. Sometimes I outcute myself. American Gods. All right, let's try another award one then. This is the only Harry Potter novel to win a Hugo Award in 2001. In 2001, this Harry Potter novel won a Hugo. It's the only Harry Potter novel to win a Hugo. Does that make sense?
Goblet of Fire,
yes. Well done, audience. All right. Going back to the start here. Larry Niven's puppeteers have this many legs. Yes.
Three,
yes. And you are under the end of the next round. That was well done. You keep one of them so that you have a ticket. I need a new person. You, ma'am, right there, black and red.
A lot of negativity up there.
And you are?
Megan.
Megan, welcome aboard, welcome aboard. All right, moving along. This is the title of the second novel in the Foundation trilogy. Yes.
Foundation and Empire?
Yes. No. Trying to be a little tricky there, so trying to trap you up. I started to say this is the name of the second Foundation novel, but then you could have made an argument that second Foundation is the name of the second Foundation novel. All right, let's see. Just give me a second. No, not liking it. Not liking it. No. Okay. Brian Daley first came to fame as the author of a trilogy of novels based on this popular Star Wars character in 1979. One of which was called At Star's End. Boop, boop, boop. Han Solo. All right. A Friend of the Track.
This track.
And a Bayon Books mainstay, who I've argued politics with many times. He wrote A Hymn Before Battle and often is seen wearing a kilt.
John Ringo.
John Ringo, yes. You could have stopped that argument. All right, how are we? Good. Well, lots of cards, but nobody's moved up or down. All right, let's move along. The number of volumes in Dan Simmons' Hyperion Cantos. Here's a hint. It's not called the Hyperion Trilogy. So it's not three. Yes.
Two?
Oh. I'll start again. The number.
Four.
We got. Think, think, Four. Yes. Okay. That is correct. Are you? You've got two. He. Oh man. He.
I'm out of here.
You've got two green, two red, and a yellow. Ooh, something's going to happen in the next question.
I'm out of here.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Need another person up? Come on, Don. I was waiting. This is Dawn, everybody. I don't have to... All right, here we go. Donald A. Wolheim founded this SF...
Daw.
Daw, yes. Well done. While we're doing publishers... Oh, did we just lose another...
I guess we win. Well,
thank you, guys. Okay. I looked up and Dawn's by herself. They're like, dang, we're leaving. All right, I need two more peoples, back in the back. I need another one. We got two, good. That's fine, well, whatever works. Okay, you in the middle, sir?
Yep,
Ted. And you are?
Kathy.
Yeah. Man, my voice sounds terrible. Hold on. Okay. Let's do one more publisher. Long the SF imprint of Berkeley Books, they infamously published unauthorized editions of Lord of the Rings. Don?
Ace,
yes.
You're right.
Time to switch over to something else. I like it. We are doing a panel partly on this tomorrow in this track at 7 o'clock. Also called Warhammer 30,000. I just lost Dawn immediately. Also called Warhammer 30,000. This is the collective name for the 40K prequel saga that explains the downfall of the Emperor and his most favored son, the War Master. And it's been a huge New York Times best-selling series. And it's made the Black Library the fifth largest publisher in the world. And you don't know it, so I'm going to go, boop, 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 boop. What is it?
Horus Heresy.
Horus Heresy, yes. He's taking us on his grand tour of the solar system in books such as Saturn and Mercury. Yes.
Barley? John Barley?
Nice try. I'll start ringing the question again. You two want to think about it. He's taking us on his grand tour of the solar system in books such as Saturn and Mercury. Boop, boop, boop. Anybody?
No, it's not. Asimov's dead.
And he didn't write books called that anyway.
Ben Bova.
Oh.
Let's see. Puppeteers willing to travel in known space of Larry Niven and work with humans and other aliens all had to possess this specific trait.
Insanity,
yes. Well done. All right, let's see. This is the native life form of Arrakis. Gone.
Sandworm,
yes. Is that three for you? You're done. All right. Keep one of the greens.
Skip that bullet.
Well done, Don. Well done. All right. Who's next? Anybody from this side? Anybody? Have we run out? Oh, come on. Yay, we got a volunteer. Hooray.
We're voting for you.
Thank you. Yeah, we are.
Thank you.
Whatever.
And you are?
Jenny,
welcome aboard. All right. Also a movie, which scared little children who thought they were seeing like the Fantastic Four or something, Alan Moore's award-winning 12-part graphic novel masterpiece deconstructed superheroes such as the Comedian and Dr. Manhattan. Seriously. Yes. Watchmen. All right. He was nominated for a Hugo Award for Best Novel 9 times between 1968 and 1981, but he never won. Probably a major poor disappointment. So he went off to sulk in Lord Valentine's castle. Thank you. That was terrible, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm so proud.
Silverberg.
Major poor disappointment. Oh, we've lost two more. I don't know if we can find two more. Oh, don't let it in. Yes, come on down. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? We need one more. We got two?
Yes. They both came from...
Oh, we're good. Well, if we've got more people, that's great. We can keep going. All right, down on the end.
Hey, Mar.
Mar, thanks. And
Liz from West Virginia.
Great, thanks. I'm not an Alabama.
Y'all play well. How did you do in the game today?
Let's see.
Did Bama win?
Yeah, they did. I still don't know if my team's won yet because of lightning and crap. All right, here we go.
What's your team?
Auburn. Yeah, and then I lost my feed, and I had to go up to the bar, and then lightning struck the stadium, and they had to stop playing, and I missed the whole thing. I haven't seen any of it. All right. Remember the 5th of November, with Hugo Weaving as the title character for Alan Moore's literate comic. Down on the end.
V for Vendetta.
While we're in this little subject area... I own this, by the way. The late Mark Greenwald of Marvel Comics had his own ashes mixed with the ink used to print the saga of this alternate universe team. They conquered the world in order to save it. Boop, boop, boop. Quadra Supreme, yes. It's sci-fi.
Auburn 1,
45, 21. Gus Malzahn. All right. I was nervous there. It was like 21-21.
Okay, let's comment questions.
I know. Squadron Supreme. Okay. Looking around, changing gears. Looking... Predating the Edgar Rice Burroughs novels of Mars by more than a decade, Edwin Arnold set this hero, he sent this hero to Mars, not Lilliput. There's a big clue there. Yeah. Not Lilliput.
This is embarrassing.
Because who went to Lilliput? Yes. Gulliver. Thank you. Yes. Gullivar, but I'm taking it. I'm not picky at this point. Controversial author whose most famous novel was recently released as a Harrison Ford movie. With a little kid.
Oh, okay.
And aliens.
Oh.
And shooting. I'll try again. Controversial author whose most famous novel was just released as a Harrison Ford movie with aliens and shooting and killing and stuff. Boop, boop, boop. Orson Scott Card. Yes, that was the movie was
Ender's
Game. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. We need another person? Didn't somebody over there want to come?
Am I allowed to be terrible?
I am, so.
This is great. And you are?
I'm Ben.
Ben, thank you very much. All right, moving along. In Larry Niven's known space universe, the puppeteers are fleeing the Milky Way galaxy because they discovered one of these at the center of the galaxy. I will take that. A giant black hole, supernova, it's close enough. Yes, you're in it. Very good. All right. Huh?
You exceeded the puppeteer's
level
limit.
Well, you didn't want comics, superhero-related ones, so I'm...
That's three puppeteer questions.
All right, I found a page. I need two more peoples. You in the green?
How many green cards do you want?
I just want everybody to get a chance to play. Yes, come on down. Beyond that, it's gravy.
So if we don't have a second round, you have your proud green.
Exactly. It's not like you win anything anyway. Wait, we do. We have prizes. Stephanie, where are you? Where'd she go? We do have prizes. Tell them what they win.
They have a choice of books from Bane and Tor back here at this table.
Ooh. Fabulous prizes just waiting to be won. Spin of the wheel away. Thank you. All right. So we'll see how this goes. All right. So we have new people down the end.
David.
Scott. All right. Welcome aboard. Let's see. Where am I going with this? I had one and then I lost it. Ah. Pam Nguyen is the ageless Vietnamese hero of this Werner Vinge novel.
Fire upon the deep.
Fire upon the deep, yes. Awesome, awesome book. All right. Kim Stanley Robinson wrote three novels exploring ecotopian societies on this nearby planet. You got like two shots.
Mars,
yes. In The Iron Dream, Norman Spinrad speculated on a career in science fiction writing for this infamous dictator.
Ooh.
Yes.
Adolf Hitler.
Hitler, yes. I think we found a category. I'm going to just keep going. His conservative ideas about the orderly governing of human society are on display both in his own Janissary series and in his joint works with Larry Niven, such as Lucifer's Hammer. Yes.
Cornell,
yes. All right, still rolling. Okay, still rolling. Libertarianism first strongly appeared in American SF with the work of this celebrated author of Job and the Moon is a Harsh Mistress. Yes.
Heinlein,
yes. All right, you've got three, and you're on. We have one more person before we do this. Yes, come on down in green. We'll do one more person, and then we'll have the
Contest of Champions. 10 geeks enter, 1 geek leave.
And you are?
Ben.
I'm going to keep going in this vein. Speaking of Heinlein, Robert Heinlein's classic novel in which you must serve in the military fighting the bugs to earn the right to vote.
Starship Troopers.
Ding! Somebody ding quick. Yes. Yes. Well done. Except not so well done. All right. So, I didn't realize that both would be out and you'd be having one card. If depending on how it goes, we're going to grandfather you in. Are you going to put, we're going, okay, let's do it. All right, sure. One more. You in the red. Come on down. That's fine. It's all good. We'll do it. We got time.
You're up against the barbarians at the gate now.
All right. You on the, on my end. You are. Well, Drogo, I guess. Your answers must be in English. If you need the Khaleesi to come and translate, get her down here. And you in the middle?
I'm Bill.
Bill. Okay. So, Khal Drogo and Bill. All right. This is the parliamentary body to which the great houses of the Dune universe belonged. And it was mispronounced by Brad Dourif in the movie, which drives me crazy. And I'm going to talk about that tomorrow on the panel. At 1 p.m. in Marriott 3. Landsrad.
What?
The Landsrad. Brad Dourif said the Landsrad. And I'm like, no, it's not the Landsrad. Nobody caught that. Jeez. All right.
It was already too long a movie at that point.
Yeah, nobody cared at that point.
Yeah.
They just saw eyebrows. Robert E. Howard, we talked about this earlier. Robert E. Howard often related the savage adventures of this Puritan who fought with sword and pistol and was ripped off by me. And they weren't paying attention, were they? It's like my students in class. Obviously, we're not paying attention. Ha ha.
That's what we get for being tardy.
Yes.
Solomon Kane.
Solomon Kane. All right. Let's get that squared away here. Okay. The first person to finish this round, well, I'm kind of at a handicap. We'll see.
We'll see.
Let's see. All right. The resurrected real-life British explorer and hero of Philip Jose Farmer's first River World novel, To Your Scattered Bodies Go. Go.
Boop, boop, boop. Richard Burton.
Sir Richard Burton. The later destroyed planet Minerva in James P. Hogan's Giant series was located between these two planets. Totally change that question around to make it easier. Yes.
Mars and Jupiter?
Yes. The asteroid field. Which only Han Solo can go through.
See?
No, that's from...
misuses scientific
terms. Hand wave him. Let's see. No, don't like it. Don't like it, really. No. Okay. Dan Simmons' Ilium and Olympos novels, which are awesome, recreate the Greek pantheon on the surface of this planet. Which is nearby. Calvogo.
Venus.
Well, you had a 50-50 shot, and you blew it. I'll start reading it again. The better known... Oops, I'm sorry, I put the wrong... Dan Simmons' Ilium and Olympos novels recreate...
Mars,
yes. On account of the whole, you know, Mount Olympus thing. All right, moving along.
You should have pulled his yellow card when you gave him a red.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not him.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Thank you for your correction.
All right. Everything else, including our Earth, is merely a shadow... of Roger Zelazny's one true world. You knew it was coming, right? Yes.
Amber?
Amber, yes. This round's going to go the whole rest of the time. Interesting. That's fine. That's good. That's fine. The better-known name for Pell in C.J. Cherry's Alliance Union universe, it also lent its name to the less savory part of the Babylon 5 station.
Oh.
Where, like, the gangsters and the homeless hang out on Babylon 5, which apparently none of you have ever seen. Beep, beep, beep.
Down below.
Down below.
Oh. That puts us all out.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, that works. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Very well. Very good, very good. All right. All right, all right, all right. Let's get three of our green card carriers down here. Come on, you've been waiting the longest. You in black, lady there, and you in black. Come on down.
I'll take my lucky seat.
All right, remind us again who we are.
Ingvar.
Brian.
Matt.
All right. It's the way it works, you know.
You have acquitted yourselves sufficiently thus far, but let's see how you do in competition against one another.
I'm going to stop looking for easy questions now.
Easy questions.
Dan, how many winners are you going for?
How many should I go for? You are in charge of the prizes, not me.
How many green cards are there?
How many? Three.
Okay. Three winners. All right. We'll see how it goes.
How many green cards are out there? Please raise
the green cards up high. I see one, two, three in the back.
Any back over there?
Oh, one, two, three here.
Oh, it's like a little consortium. Four. Three, and then, okay.
So you have a total of seven.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, man.
We'll see how it goes. It'll work itself out. We can do playoffs between two people. It's fine. This novel by David Mitchell became a 2012 film starring Tom Hanks, Hugh Grant, and Halle Berry, each in a wide variety of roles. And it's awesome. And complicated. And awesome. Boop, boop, boop.
Cloud Atlas.
Roy Scheider starred in this 1984 sequel to Arthur C. Clarke's and Stanley Kubrick's 1968 classic. Which one?
2010,
yes. Had a variety of subscripts, but we'll just go 2010. All right. Clive Owen starred in the critically acclaimed adaptation of P.D. James' story of a future in which no more children can be born. Yes.
Children of Men?
Children of Men, yes. Her Lathe of Heaven and Earthsea series were both adapted for television.
Ursula
Le Guin. Yes. Well done. The original Arthur C. Clarke short story upon which 2001 A Space Odyssey was based. It's also the name of my superhero series. Singular. And a Judas Priest song. Boop, boop, boop. The Sentinel. Joe Haldeman followed up The Forever War with this award-winning sequel. Yes.
Forever Peace.
Forever Peace, yes. Young people in John Varley's Earth Has Been Conquered universe, I'm sure it has a name, that's what I'm going with, are able to do this when they come of age, if their parents will allow it. Yes.
Vote.
I like it, but no. I'm gonna try again. And, oh, I guess we're okay. So that.
Yeah. Oh, she.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know anyone.
I don't know.
Yeah, I took a guess for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Because you might as well when you're...
Sure. Okay. So let's see. You hang around, and we're down. Okay, we need one more green card person. Let's finish this out and let's see. Okay, yeah, let's leave it in. Okay, that's a good idea. Let's leave it to these two. We'll get down to winner of this round.
Finish this question.
Yes, I understand that. I'll start again. Young people in John Varley's Earth Has Been Conquered universe are able to do this when they come of age. Their parents allow it. Yes.
Have kids.
All right. Let's. Yeah, so what do y'all think? Should he have to answer? If he doesn't answer, he gets a yellow. He says, all right, so you're advanced out of this round. Because even if he doesn't answer, he gets a yellow and he's still in. So you survived. So you get up. You're good. You're in. Let's get three more green cards.
What's the answer to the school?
What is the answer?
Change gender.
Ooh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's when, like... at least one of his stories, there's like the teenage boy and somebody comes to the door and it's like this really gorgeous girl and she's all like all over him, and then he realizes it's his buddy that has switched over. It's pretty cool. All right. Farley is asking a question like that. Y'all ready? The killer bee who wrote Blood Music and Darwin's Radio and married Paul...
Benford?
Let me try. Start again. You other two. The killer...
It's Bear.
Bear, yes. Married Paul Anderson's daughter. Greg Bear. Multi-award-winning author who also edited Dangerous Visions.
Harlan Ellison.
And wrote the most popular episode of Star Trek. All right. This late British hard SF writer gave us the Heritage Universe series plus Cold as Ice and Between the Strokes of Night. Passed away recently, I believe. Well, somewhat. Boop, boop, boop. Charles Sheffield.
Oh.
Charles Sheffield. British-born author whose real last name is Jacob. He's best known for the Xanth series. Down the end.
Piers Anthony.
Piers Anthony. Yep. All right. In John Varley's Red Thunder, a washed-up astronaut and his friends build a spacecraft that takes them here. Or takes them where? And it's nearby. And you got 50-50.
Mars,
yes! The default answer tonight is Mars, okay?
Mars.
Let's see. This honored science fiction author wrote two of the very first Star Trek novels.
Gerald.
Nice try. I mean, that was very, very tactically sound. All right, thanks, sir. I'll start again. This highly honored science fiction author wrote two of the very first Star Trek novels in the mid-1970s, including Planet of Judgment and World Without End. Yes.
Ellison.
He's out. Yep. So, if Dawn doesn't answer, she gets a yellow. Would that give you three reds or just two reds?
She's got two reds.
So she's on. She wins the...
Yep.
You survived.
Oh, done?
So you're done, yes. Joe Haldeman.
That's who it was.
All right. Yeah, it's whoever survives. We got one more person. Is that right? All right. So we've got two winners and one more person. We're going to have the three of you. Dawn, come back up here. Other winner and you, sir. That'll be fair. That'll work out. It would be more fair if we had more time, but we have limited time, so we have limited fairness. Deal with it. Just how it works out.
Somehow this sounds like the government.
I was going to say
the politics in sci-fi panel was earlier. All right, here we go. The forefathers of the Green Lanterns and Babylon 5's Rangers, the Lensmen were created by this famous doc.
Smith,
yes. I'm keep rolling. When we first meet Sirocco Rocky Jones, the wizard demon lady of Gaia, she is a member of this profession. In Titan, Wizard, and Demon. By John Barley. They go out to space to meet the Gaia. So she's a member of this profession that goes out to space to meet this intelligence.
Bark, 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 bark.
I'm going to guess. Is she a prostitute? I don't know. I'm just rambling.
Going out.
You made funny faces, so it was a wild guess.
They're always red cards.
I'll try again. Where did it go? They member of this profession.
I don't know.
That goes out into space to meet Gaia.
Boop, 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 boop. First was Ham.
Astronaut. That's a good point, yes. Alright. This frightening metamorphic alien first appeared in John W. Campbell's Who Goes There? And later in three movies, one by John Carpenter. Who ring?
The Thing from Outer Space?
The Thing, yes. The Thing, yeah, sure. Okay.
The Carrot? I didn't
think. The capital world of the empire under the Carino dynasty. And Emperor Shaddam IV. And the spice must flow. Boop, boop, boop.
Carino.
Anybody? No? Kaitan.
The imperial world of Kaitan.
Mm-hmm. Peter F. Hamilton's recent hard science fiction trilogy included the dreaming, temporal, and evolutionary blank. Boop, boop, boop. Void, yeah. The agoraphobic New York homicide detective who solves robot crimes in Isaac Asimov's robot novels.
Easy.
Boop, boop, boop.
Elijah Bailey.
Elijah Bailey.
I remember the robot's name and not his.
R. Daniel
Oliva. Mm-hmm.
Deja.
I think we're all three out.
No. Dawn gets a yellow. Other two get a yellow.
They're out.
Dawn wins. Yay! All right, you two hang around because there's three prizes, okay? Way to go. Awesome. Good job, everybody. There are prizes to be doled out by Stephanie.
Griffin, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.